Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Podcast, presented by SportsShoes.com. I'm Ollie Lum.
And I'm Matt Seddon.
We are back for Season 3 and it's going to be a good one.
With the aim of raising the profile of British distance running, we're bringing you more content than ever.
Every week, we'll give you insights into the lives and training of some of the UK's top athletes and coaches,
as well as all the latest updates from the races up and down the country and around the world.
You can listen to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and all major podcast streaming platforms.
Keep a lookout for our new YouTube channel too, where we're posting workout videos, shoe reviews, and much more.
Stay up to date by following us on Twitter and Instagram at Sunday Podcast.
And if you want to drop us a line, send us an email to info@sundaypodcast.com.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoy the episode. Happy New Year, everyone. Massive guest to kick off 2023 with, and one you've all been waiting for. We spoke to Emil Caress about it all. With PBs of 27.34 in the 10K and 60.32 in the half, Emil is one of the UK's biggest distance running talents. Fresh off a silver medal at Eurocross in December last month and looking ahead to London Marathon in April, this is Emil Caress. Enjoy. Emil, first off, welcome to the podcast. Thanks so much for coming on. We've been after you for a while, mate.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. Yeah, I'm not the biggest fan of doing putting myself out there, but yeah.
Nah,
I'll give it a go.
Yeah, it's good to finally get you on, and obviously some fantastic results recently, so I think it definitely warrants getting into it a little bit. But you're just saying to us, obviously you've been a bit ill over Christmas, but you're all good now? You're running again?
Yeah, I think I got COVID off Jack at the Euros. So yeah, I had like 12 days off, and then yeah, last 5 days I've been running again. So it's a bit slow to get back going, but yeah, it's all right now.
Yeah, that's it. Name and shame, Jack Rowe, mate. He gave everyone COVID.
Yeah, I felt bad for him, to be honest. Yeah, like getting it before the race. I'd rather get it afterwards. So yeah, he was really unlucky with that.
Yeah. Obviously, fantastic run at Euros for yourself, and we'll get into that in more detail later on. But with you, mate, we just want to rewind and start right at the beginning, if that's okay. Like, can you just tell us how did you get into the sport in the first place?
So my mum, she's like a sort of a runner. She didn't do any races or all like that, but she goes out running nearly every day, like 3-4 mile or whatever. So when I was maybe 4 or something, I started going with her just because I liked it. And then, I don't know, then because I did it with her, I did it at school a bit. And then, yeah, I guess each year I took it a little bit more serious, like until now. So.
Wow. Did she push you into races? At what point did you start racing? You know, because if she never raced, I just wondered if she encouraged you to.
No, not really. Like, she, there was a cross-country club at school when I started a different school in year two. And then, so I joined that, because I like running with my mom. And then they had some, like, they did, like, local schools races, so I started doing them. And then I just really enjoyed them, so... No, it wasn't really to do with my mum, like the racing or anything like that. I did loads of sports, so it was just natural for me to do like competitions and stuff in whatever I was doing. So,
Yeah, Emil, talk to us about like role models. Who were the biggest role models you had like growing up, like either in sport or outside of it?
Well, probably my mum. She was a big one, like because it was just my mum's a single parent, so I think. Yeah, she obviously had a lot of like impact on me. Like, so I was locked up there, and then she had a friend called Paul, and he was like sort of like a dad to me. So he was a really big influence on me as well. But they're not really like to do with sport; they're just in my general life. But yeah, they're two people that had the biggest impact on me, probably.
Would you still, you know, as you started to get a bit older, you started to understand running a lot more, and we'll talk about how, you know, you've almost become this big student of the sport as well. Would you still talk to your mum about the kind of elite end of the sport, you know, about when you're 16, 18 and you start to, you know, compete for national titles and stuff? Would she give you advice, or did you kind of outgrow that?
She was like, she was clueless from the beginning, like, and she still is now. She just, yeah, like, she doesn't even know. Sometimes she doesn't know if I've done well or not. She just sees if I'm happy or not. And yeah, if I'm happy, she's happy. So no, I wouldn't really get much advice off her in terms of,
Yeah.
yeah, in anything specific. But yeah, she's always like really interested in stuff and talks to me about it a lot, even though, yeah, she doesn't really know what's going on.
Is that quite a nice thing to have though, because you haven't necessarily got that pressure from your parents, which a lot of runners out there, their parents do take a lot of interest and might just put a bit of pressure on their children. So you sound like you have no pressure, or had no pressure. So is that quite nice?
Yeah, definitely. I think, yeah, a lot of people, like you see in a lot of sports, like kids get really like pushed into stuff, and especially if like they're doing all right, the parents like sort of, yeah, take over and just really want the kids, like they're sort of living through their kids. So yeah, the fact that, yeah, me and my mum were just, yeah, there's nothing, the one that sort of dynamic was nice, and it was just like if I said I didn't want to do running, then yeah, she wouldn't have been bothered. I just like there's other spots I did and I just quit them and she wasn't bothered. It just she just took me to whatever I enjoyed and yeah, let me do whatever I wanted.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Do you still ever get out for a run with her nowadays?
Even though I go pretty slow sometimes, no, she's a no, she'd be struggling a little bit, I think, to
For sure.
yeah.
So it sounds like it snowballed like quite naturally then in terms of how you got into the sport like after you started. But is there any moments you can pinpoint where you think I really kind of I think I want to do this seriously or maybe even as a profession?
Not really like a definite moment. Like I said, it's been sort of every year. Like I've got a little bit better, maybe changed a little thing that's meant I'm taking it a bit more seriously. I guess maybe the biggest one was quitting football when I was like 16, because that like obviously I had training on Saturdays and played on Sundays, so I wasn't running on the weekend. And then I really love playing football, so I think that was quite like a big thing for me to do and be like, no, I'm gonna. Yeah, train on the weekends and yeah, and give up football, which yeah, I really love.
Yeah.
Yeah,
You're an Arsenal fan as well, aren't you, mate? Yes,
it's a
boy.
bit, yeah, I'm a big fan, but yeah, I get a lot of stick obviously from being from the north, but yeah.
No, I bet. We're doing all right at the moment, though, so you can't complain, can you?
No, it's good, it's all good at the moment.
At what age did you go down Leeds City, bud?
So I was like 16. I was 17, I
Right.
think. Yeah, it was in year 12, so I just started year 12. So I was still 16. I've been training at Bingley Harriers before then with this coach called Dave Benson, and he used to train with Steve Binns and that. So he was and Colin Marr, who were really good back in the day. So he knew what he was doing and everything. But yeah, Leeds City with Phil Townsend, they had a good like senior group, so I sort of seen that as like. I wanted training partners and people to push me. So, yeah, I went down to Phil Townsend's group in year 12. And yeah, I think I quickly benefited from yeah being around them senior athletes who were quite a bit better than me.
And then obviously uni came around and you had to decide where you were going. Interested to hear kind of why you chose St. Mary's. Obviously there was Loughborough, even Leeds if you wanted to stay in the area, or Birmingham as well. So
Yeah, I think, well, you probably know about them St. Mary's camps. Like, if you do well London Marathon, you get to go to the St. Mary's camps. And I remember going to them in the summer. And I just had like such a good time at them. I thought, yeah, this is where I wanted. I sort of had my heart set on there since I did one of them camps. So I applied for Loughborough, no, not Loughborough, I don't know, Birmingham and Leeds, like Uni of Leeds. But I always just wanted to go to St. Mary's. That was like my, I don't know. I just was determined to go there, even though, yeah, it's not the best uni for academics. It's just what I wanted to do.
100%. But was there a coach there at the time? Because as I kind of heard a few rumors that you were almost kind of self-coaching yourself through that uni time as well, which is quite a hard thing to do. So did you start off being coached by Craig or Mick, or were you always kind of relaying, talking to Phil or even coaching yourself?
Yeah, so in the first 2 years, I was still getting coached by Phil Townsend, but I was jumping in with Mick's group a lot, probably like once every week, and then sometimes twice. So I was with Mick quite, and I used to talk to Mick a lot. And Mick gave me a lot of like help and that and support. But yeah, then in the third year, I started coaching myself. So yeah, that was just the third year, but the first 2 years, I was with Phil Townsend.
Yeah, and obviously, like we've heard as well that you had a good relationship with Alan Storey, obviously based in the area. Like, what was that, and kind of how did that come about as well?
So I'm with Forte Management. So Danny Davis took me to like the London Marathon, like the hotel when he was in the Tower Hotel, like the day before. So I met Alan and Nick Bedot, and Alan started giving me. He wasn't coaching me, like, so this was 2019, maybe April. And he was giving me a lot of advice and teaching me a lot. I'd send him emails about my training and stuff, and we'd talk on the phone. And he was sort of being like a mentor role. And then I guess over the next 3 years, it sort of was it three? I think it was 3 years, yeah. We'd sort of switch between Alan would there'd be periods where Alan would set me like all the sessions and stuff, and then there'd be periods where I'd be setting it, but we're always in constant contact. And he was always like on the other end of the phone to help me out, like with anything I needed. So yeah, that was really, I think, important for me to I transitioned to being a senior, just having Alan there to guide me. Because yeah, it's not the easiest transition to go from junior under 23 to senior. But yeah, like all my coaches, Dave, Phil, and Alan, now Renato, they've all been feel like come at a good time for me and the right time. And they've all been like, I don't think any of them could have done a better job in supporting me and helping me out. So yeah, I'm really grateful to all of them.
I mean, it's kind of incredible as well. You know, one thing which stands out, you negotiated that last year in uni, self-coaching yourself, which is quite a bold thing to do. And I just say that because in a university environment, we know what it's like. There's a lot of chatter. There's a lot of, you know, Emil's doing this, so and so is doing that. How did you kind of almost, you know, fight that off or deflect that? Because you would have had to answer a lot of questions, I would have thought.
I was really like, well, still out my Petros Surveil, one of my best friends, and me and him, we like love running, love reading about everything like that. So, we've just started doing our own thing and like wanting to push the boundaries a little bit more, like start training harder and stuff like that. So, and then there was Abdi Sharif as well. So we had our own little like team, that we just go do stuff and. Yeah, so we were sort of, even though we're in that uni environment, we sort of like, we just kept ourselves to ourselves and sort of insulated from all the other, all that chatter and all the nonsense that goes on. So, no, we're good.
This is it. And you say, you know, pushing the boundaries a little bit. What was it specifically that you read you thought I kind of want to test, I want to give a go?
But Phil Townsend is training like, he wanted to sort of, he's definitely right to do like hold me back. When I was younger, and like sort of limit the volume on my sessions and stuff, but yeah, I think I was just wanted to do bigger volume sessions and stuff like that, and I didn't want to be feel to like be setting me sessions and then me like changing them and stuff like that. So I just thought it was better just for me to take over and yeah, so I could just do those big sessions and stuff, because I thought that would make quite a big, yeah. I just wanted to do bigger volume basically, and not be limited with mileage and stuff like that.
Now that's really interesting, man. I think it's quite a mature decision to do, because I think a lot of people do what you just said and they stay with their coaches. But then they tweak the training themselves rather than saying, actually, I'm going to go and I'm going to do the whole program myself. And so it's going to be based around that. Instead, they'll do what the coach thinks they're doing, and they'll add a little bit more here and there. And that's when you start to see injuries and things like that, because the coach doesn't actually know what you're really doing.
I don't think that really ever ends well when, yeah, you and the coach are on a different wavelength. So yeah, that's pretty much, yeah. I just, yeah, wanted to guide it all myself, and yeah, I really enjoy it as well, like planning training and stuff. So I like that side of things, like planning out the year and everything like that. So yeah, what well, it that was like, so I played a role in it as well, I guess.
Yeah. Do you still have a chance to do any of that now with Renato?
Yeah, I did. To be fair, like, yeah, I suggest stuff, and like, I might suggest like, changing a little thing here or there. But for the most part, Yeah, Renato sets like everything, and I just try and follow it. I mean, because Renato's training is like really hard, so I don't often feel like I need to add anything or anything like that. It's usually like I'm thinking from the neck. Yeah.
Yeah, let's chat about that then, because obviously, as someone who clearly was studying the sport, knew a lot about it, it must take a lot to think, okay, I'm going to put my trust in someone now to do my program. And obviously, Renato Canova, very well renowned around the world, as one of the best coaches. Kind of, when did you first start getting into like his coaching, like reading about it, and then how did the relationship itself start?
So when I was coaching myself in 20, in third year uni, I was reading all this stuff on Let's Run and that. So I was basically coaching myself off Let's Run, which is like, yeah. So I was trying to follow his like ideas and stuff. So I watched like anything that I could find about him really, and the programs he's put online. So I was trying to follow it, but. Yeah, now I've been coached by Renato. I know that I wasn't quite following it how he sets it. Like it's quite different. So yeah. So then I went to Kenya in January this year, and I met Renato just on the road like before a long run. I just asked to like meet with him to chat about his training and stuff like because I wanted to hear it from him like himself like his philosophies and stuff so I could like sort of take it back and implement it and there. And then we were talking for like a few hours, and then I think he could tell I was re like really enthusiastic and stuff. And he offered to coach me, and that it was like at the time it was such a big like dilemma because obviously it was going so well with Alan, but it just felt like something I'd regret if I turned down. And it just felt like yeah, it was like I felt like in my heart it's something I should like pursue, and I'd always regret if I didn't. So that's why I went for it.
I think as well, like if you're having that conversation and the excitement's almost showing through how excited you would be if he was to coach you, it's kind of stupid to ignore that, isn't it?
I guess, yeah.
It's an interesting point you said about, the training once you were actually coached by him was quite different to what you'd read up because there is quite a lot on him. And I think a lot of us fall into that trap of we read stuff. I mean, Jakob Ingebrigtsen's prime example. How much do we read about him? But we don't actually know how his training pans out over the whole year, what he does in that kind of taper specifics as well. So, what were the kind of big differences you learned from kind of reading stuff online to then being coached by Renato?
So being coached by Renato, you realize that like there's not a program, there's not like there's not some he doesn't follow, like Ingebrigtsen, like I guess he does have like the double threshold, and then people know like pretty well that he probably does like what it looks like week to week, but Renato's training is almost like in it, on paper it almost looks random, but in reality, like obviously he's planned it to like the nth degree in that, but yeah, is yeah, different things at different times and different, just yeah, different stuff to what you'd expect. Like, just give you an example. Like, I did, this 20K, like, fat, like, 5K, of minute on minute off, then 5K tempo, 5K minute on minute off, and 5K tempo, and then that was like a pretty big session. And day before, I was doing like a medium long run as well. So, and then like the next day, it was like, oh, we're gonna go to the track and do 3,400s. And it was just like, you just, and I was like, all right then. But it's just like, when I was like following Renato's ideas, I was never doing stuff like that. Yeah, it just like, yeah, it's just stuff you wouldn't expect. Or doing like 3, 4 sessions in 1 weekend and just, yeah, just all different stuff.
Has it, being coached by him, and especially when you went out to Kenya as well, has it kind of opened up your eyes to how hard your elite distance runners actually train? Because I think there's quite a lot out there which kind of says they do 2 sessions a week in a hard long run, but that's kind of showing you guys do a lot more.
Well, Alan, like, I think Alan's like, he definitely, when I was with him, like, the training definitely wasn't easy, and it was like most people consider it really hard and good volume, which it was. So that, like, yeah, I'd already seen like, and obviously Alan's coached loads of top guys, think 12 guys or something, sub 28. So
Wow.
he had good, yeah, his Alan's like had the amazing experience and knowledge. So yes, yeah, already had my eyes open to what the guys were doing. But I think Renato's training is just a little bit, yeah, it is a little bit harder, to be honest. Yeah,
Yeah, a little bit. Wait,
yeah.
did you find yourself mentally having to adapt, or did you already kind of had that kind of hungry, really open mind? Because I know surely there's a lot of people out there who, if their coach turned around and said they were going to do, yeah, 20K fartlek and then 3400s the day after, a lot of people would be like, you're crazy, and would almost refuse.
Yeah, just I don't have like, if it says it on the program, I'll do it. Like, I don't have any. Yeah, if he tells me to do anything, I'll do it. It's not like I'm not bothered, because like I want to be the best that I can be. So it's not, yeah, if it's not like cycling where you're going for like 7 hours a day or something. Like a lot of running's like maybe 2.5 hours a day or something. So yeah, if you can't like, yeah, I just follow it, and if I'm tired, yeah, just do it anyway. So it's, yeah, and if it don't work, it don't work, but at least you tried.
For sure. Well, I was going to ask you to talk us through a typical week's training, but I don't think you really have one, do you?
Yeah.
like, is there like, can you give us any sort of flavor? I guess I know you said it's very random, but like week to week, like what sort of thing do you do? Like most of all, a meal.
If I get I just get the training. I'm on computer, so I can get the training thing up.
Okay, perfect.
You might have to cut, like, edit a bit.
Nah, it's all good, man. We're happy to wait.
So what, like, try and just find in the print.
The week before Liverpool could be interesting.
The week of Liverpool, or the week before that.
Before would be interesting, man.
Okay. We'll see. Liverpool. Okay, so like starting like 13 days before Liverpool.
Yeah.
To be fair, that's I actually had a small injury that week.
Wow.
But so and Monday I did 75 minutes moderate, and then evening I did 8K, but I haven't 30 something minutes, probably 35 minutes. And then Tuesday I did 20K moderate on the treadmill. 5K at 4 minute pace, 2K at 3:07, 5K at 3:50, 2K at 3:07, 5K at 3:40, and then 1K at 3:07. But the 3:07s were like up an incline, so like average 3%. And then I took Tuesday afternoon off because I had that injury. Wednesday I took off with the injury. Thursday I did 80, 40 easy. Friday 70, moderate, 40 easy. Then I did a 40-minute tempo around Roundy Park on Saturday morning, 30 minutes easy in the afternoon, the 90 easy on Sunday. So that week was a, yeah, that wasn't really a typical week. Like it was, yeah, it's probably one of the lightest week. It's probably like, yeah, the lightest week I've done pretty much.
Well,
But yeah, just with the injury, like Renato was being cautious and told me like, yeah, to cut quite a lot of what I was supposed to do.
good, because we watched Liverpool, and we all know how hard it is, but you looked, it was in the home straight, really, was a telling sign. You kind of had this big kick at Liverpool, and I kind of thought, I think a mil was a lot easier than maybe even people realized. And you kind of showed that in the Euros after. But was Liverpool quite comfortable for you?
Yeah, it was just, well, it's just comfortable as like that sort of race is gonna be.
Yeah.
Like, can't be like, oh yeah, it was easy, because it's
No.
racing is really hard. But yeah, it's just comfortable as I could have ever like wished for. And yeah, I think the thing that like when I made a little gap, I wasn't actually trying to, and I think that was the thing that gave me a lot of confidence. And yeah, I think told me that I was going really well. Because usually, like in a race like that, if you don't make a big move, like then you feel like you might not get away. But I just sort of just went to the front, and then yeah, there was just a small gap, and then I just thought, I'll go for it, like carry on.
Did you have you ever read the book More Fire?
I've got that book. Yeah.
It's a good book. Yeah, when you were saying you were running sort of 8 minutes moderate and stuff, they use the word moderate quite a lot in there. So what is moderate? Is that what we would call steady running? Would that be 6 minute miling for someone like yourself?
Yeah, it could be between like 5:35 to 6:10, probably in that range.
Got you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is there, I obviously noticed there's quite a big treadmill workout in there. Does Renato set that quite a lot?
No, that was like a one-off thing. The weather was,
Okay.
I can't remember. Yeah, the weather was pretty bad. I can't remember if it was really windy or something. Yeah, and then, yeah, with the, I like saw posterior tib. So, yeah, that was that was a bit sort of read into that treadmill thing too much because yeah, I never really do it like
Yeah.
often.
Mate, what's it's interesting the level you're at, you're at an extremely high level. What sort of support do you have? Obviously you're with Forte, they do a great job. You're signed with Adidas as well, correct? What other support do you get? Do you get any physio and support?
Yeah, so in Leeds, there's a Leeds talent hub. So that's really good, to be honest. As I have Andy Henderson on the bike for most of the sessions that I do on the track, which is like, because I train on my own. Like, I think I did one session with Phil Sessman between April and now. And apart from that, I didn't train with anyone. So, having Andy Henderson on the bike just makes like a massive difference because some of the sessions are just like impossible to do like well on your own. So that's probably the biggest benefit I get from Leeds Talent. But yeah, you get the physio free, and the physio I think is one of the best physios like around. Like, it's called Coach House, and there's a physio called Alison Rose, and yeah, it's one of the top physios. So like, we're really lucky we get to go there for free. Yeah, and then they have like gym support and stuff, and nutrition and everything, but I haven't really been accessing a lot of it, mainly just the physio and having Andy Henderson like support me on the bike. But I think over time, like, I want to get more, yeah, maybe more involved in the S&C and the nutrition and maybe the psychology and all that stuff. But yeah, I haven't been accessing it up until
It's,
now.
yeah, I guess it's little introductions over time, isn't it? You can't do it all at once.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, look, let's talk about this year because you've had a terrific year. Obviously, you've been well documented. PBs across the board. I want to know what Emil Kares's favorite distance is. Is it track? Is it 5, 10? Is it the half? Will it be the marathon, cross country? What do you reckon your favorite event is to do, man?
I think road running is my favorite. It's like, yeah, I think 10K is a little bit short, so probably at the moment half marathons the ones I've enjoyed the most. But maybe I don't know if I'll enjoy marathon more or less, but yeah, definitely road running. I feel like you'd never have to worry about mud or conditions or anything. And I think on the track as well, the track's quite like intense, like with the splits and everything like that is quite. Whereas the road, you can just sort of run free. So I think that I enjoy that the most. Yeah.
Obviously, you mentioned the marathon there, and it's a weird one because the marathon standard's probably increased more than others, but is it almost the most achievable one for you for Paris? Like 208 sounds, for Brit in the past, that sounds ridiculous, but for someone like yourself with your half marathon PB, like 208, does it sound sounds pretty achievable, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think like, yeah, definitely like, obviously I want to qualify for the Olympics and hopefully before then go quite a bit faster than that. So, but obviously I haven't done one, so you can't say, oh, this and that when you haven't even done it. People probably have done one thinking, oh, yeah, you might have a bit of a baptism of fire when you do one, but I definitely think it's what I'm suited to and coming from. I've always done a lot of endurance training and stuff, and people probably say the training I've been doing the last few years like looks like some people's marathon training anyway. So, yeah, I think, yeah, there's probably, and yeah, to your question, it is probably the most achievable standard. I think 208's quite a lot softer than 27 flat and fair. I can't, is it 13.06?
I think, yeah.
Yeah, I think 27 flat's probably the hardest one, like, in terms of like where you are in the world. Like, I think no one from Europe's done it apart from Mo and that Belgian guy, Mohit, I think was doping. So, I think Mo got done for doping. So, I think, yeah, that's a pretty brutal standard. But yeah, the marathon should be achievable. Yeah, compared to that 10K one.
Will we see you on a track again next year? Maybe hard to tell, maybe a bit far off for you, but obviously if you do an early spring marathon London in April, will we get to see you on the track over the 10, or will it be a bit too close?
Yeah, no, I'll definitely go on the track. I know I can run a lot faster than what I've run on the track. Yeah, so I feel like even though I'll be doing marathon, I won't like stop doing the track. Obviously, I won't like like focus on it for major championships. But yeah, I feel like I've got some. I can run some good PBs and stuff. So yeah, I think, and they both help each other out. Like if you can't run, you see like Toler in the world champs run almost 28 flat for 10K, like in the last 10K. So if you want to be up there, like you can't be running 28 flat for 10K and then expecting to do well in marathons when, yeah, Kipchoge does it back to back four times. So yeah, I definitely want to get close to 27, hopefully one day under, and then I think that'll help me in the marathon as well.
Yeah, for sure. I think we were chatting quite recently, like about obviously once you announced that you were doing London, that it's great to see someone like at your age kind of going to the marathon where you're already kind of running your best 10Ks and you're probably getting in some of your best shape, rather than waiting until you've sort of finished with the track and then going, because I think sometimes we see that a lot.
Yeah. I think, yeah, you don't want to move to a marathon when you already sort of pass your prime.
Yeah.
Because then, yeah, you are going to be struggling to, well, yeah, you've left your prime behind. You're sort of giving the second best version of yourself. So I feel like you have to, in your prime, you have to be doing your best event. And also, like, I think marathon and all events take a bit of getting used to. So if I start now, I just turned 25, like, the other day. So, yeah, by the time I get to 30, however, I'll be experienced in the marathon and I'll also be in my physical prime. So I think that's, like, you want to try and match them two up. So, yeah, I think that's why. Yeah, I'm starting now, and I feel like I'm physically ready for it. Like I can handle the training, and just the stress of doing a marathon, like that it brings on your body.
Definitely, man. I mean, talking of stress, that bout with Jakobinho Britson, we want to just talk about that, you know, at the Europeans, because there was a point in that race where you were taking it to Jakob. And I just want to know mentally, you know, what are you kind of thinking at that moment in time? Because I'm sure a lot of people who race against Jakob, he does bring a little bit of a fear factor. It's almost like a little bit when Europeans race against Kenyans, isn't it? They almost have that fear factor of, you know, these guys are better than me. So were you thinking that at all, or were you just kind of pushing? Did you think you could realistically go on and win that race?
In the beginning, I felt like third place was like achievable. I felt like Ingebrigtsen and Krippo were probably like maybe a bit too strong, like sort of standout guys. Yeah, and then in the race, I just worked into it, like went south pretty slow. And then because I'd set up slow and I caught the leaders up, I must have been running faster than them to catch them up. So I just carried on with the same pace. Like I didn't make conscious effort to like put my foot down or anything. I just wanted to run like pretty strong. And then, yeah, same as like in Liverpool, I found myself with a little gap. And then briefly, for about half a second, I thought, oh, I might win. And then, yeah. And then down the hill, like, they caught me straight back up. And then that went out of my head. And then I was just thinking about a medal, really, like the rest of the way. And I wasn't really thinking about Ingebrigtsen, like the whole race, because yeah, he's gonna do what he's gonna do, and I didn't want to worry about him too much. And then, yeah, when he took off at the end, I sort of forgot he was even in the race. Like I was just thinking about getting a medal. So yeah, I tried. I think you can't be like fearful of like big names, but then you can't be an idiot either and think and not respect them and not know how good they are. So yeah, I think that's just what I did.
Yeah, you paid a good bit of respect to the course as well. Well, like going off. So I think at one point you might have been in the last GB. You know, there was only the the Gibraltans behind you at one point, mate, on that first turn. So what made you pay that respect to the course? Was it, did you have a chat with the coach before, or did you, was it just kind of your self-assessment on the day?
I don't know if you like you watched like Lisbon under 23s, like cross country, because I'd done well in the summer on the under 23s, like on the track. I was trying to get a medal in that, yeah. And I set off pretty fast, and that was a similar course, like pretty hilly, and I ended up like swimming the whole race, and I come 60th in the end. So wow. I had a terrible experience there, and I thought I'd retired from cross country after that. But I just didn't want to repeat. I knew how tough like these Eurocross things can be if you don't respect the tough course and like going out too quick. So I just set off slow and thought I'm going to enjoy it and yeah, try and just get sort of the demons from the last time out and yeah.
Were you surprised once you kind of reached that main pack that they were kind of going a lot more of a relaxed pace? Were you surprised kind of catch up with them so quick?
I was keeping an eye on him because like I did want to, like I said before the race, like I had the sort of hope that I could get like a bronze medal, and so I was keeping an eye, making sure like they weren't miles and miles in front, and they weren't. So yeah, I was just tried to keep within touching distance, but not overcoming.
Yeah, for sure. And obviously finished the year on a high with that silver medal. We had a chance to reflect on 2022 now. Obviously, we're right at the end of it now. For sure, it's got to be the best year of career so far.
Yeah, yeah. I feel like it's definitely, been by far and away the best year of my career. And I just want to keep that going, like, each year, like, try and be better than the last year. And not, I feel like in athletics, it's important not to get, like, too down on yourself when things go bad and too high on yourself when things go good. So just sort of try and stay level and just focus on next year and trying to make that better than this year.
Yeah, we wanted to know as well, did you set goals for 2022? And if so, what were they? Like, how did they match up with what you actually achieved?
So my biggest goal was to get a medal in Munich. And that went like really badly for me. Because I thought, like, going into it, I was in the best shape. I've been, like I was in way better shape than when I was in Highgate and stuff. So that was my big goal. But, yeah, it didn't turn out that way. But that's athletics, like, all through my career, like, stuff I've aimed for, I've failed to do, and different stuff like that. But, yeah, you just focus on the next goal. And, yeah, and then things work themselves out. Like, in the end, like, I got a medal in, in Turin, which at the beginning of the year I never expected. So yeah,
why do you think you struggled in Munich, man?
So I've been in Sestriere, like in Italy, which is like 2,000 meters. And I came, my coach recommended that I go the day before, which like I know like a lot of athletes do that. So I went the day before from Sestriere to Munich, and then I just felt like really flat on the day. Like the first lap, I think I ran 65, which like I felt like I should be able to maintain that the whole way. And I just felt like it was already pretty hard. I knew it was just going to be a rough day from the offset. So I tried my best to like stay mentally in the race and engaged, but it just wasn't. Yeah, I think the altitude, and also I think perhaps I was just a little bit over the hill in terms of my peak fitness. I think I was maybe a little bit tired. I said Renato's training is not easy. And it'd been my first 6 months and I'd got really fit and I was flying. But yeah, I think just being a little bit over the hill in terms of my top shape and and then coming from the altitude, I think that's just led me to feel really flat on the day. Maybe the pressure as well. I put a lot of pressure on myself to get a medal there because I felt like it's really achievable. So it just turned out it was a bad race. But like you have to learn from them things and not make the same mistakes again. And if you do that, then it wasn't like a wasted opportunity. Like it was a good experience. I don't want to change anything. Even though at the time, like you're kicking yourself. But going into next summer or whenever, I'll change, like, just tweak things a little bit so it's not the outcome's different.
Is that something you'll try again with the altitude, or do you think that was probably it was just that, or do you think maybe you need to kind of experiment a bit more with it?
Yeah, well, I don't think I'll do that again where I come back the day before. Because when I come back from altitude, usually like I'm not that good for the first like 10 days.
Mm-hmm.
My sessions don't tend to go like well at all. But I hadn't done anything like so close, like one day. I'd only like, so yeah, I just tried that. So I think in the future, I'll probably leave it like a couple of weeks, like minimum. Unless it's like just a minor race that's not not important in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
And then, hey, next up, are you heading out to, you're going to go get some sun? Are you heading out to Kenya soon, mate? Is that correct?
Yeah. So I'm going to go to Kenya in like 10, 11 days, on the 10th of January, go for a month and obviously just try and get like my fitness back from, this break with COVID. Just put a good base down for what's to come in the spring. And I think there's going to be a lot of British guys out there, so it'll be, it's always a good trip, like, and good fun.
I feel like Kenya almost, not many people went there a few years ago, and now it's kind of getting really popular again, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't know, like, why that is, like, but it is, a great place to train, and it's really inspiring, like, seeing so many guys, like, all the guys, so many guys there, like, 300-400 guys probably in the E10 that run 120 mile a week, like, and without any like promise of anything at the end of it. So yeah, going there and seeing how they live and how they do it, it definitely gives you a kick up the bum to think, if these guys can do it, like, and maybe they might not even get to race ever outside Kenya, then we need to stay focused.
One of the big things you did last year, which I think got a lot of interest, was obviously you competed. Was it the Kenyan Cross Country Champs, or was it one of their, they have a few series out there, don't they? A few races. You put yourself on the line and towed the line out there. And I thought you were a pretty respectable 44th or something like that. I thought that's pretty solid in their cross country. And what did you learn from that?
I did it the year before as well, like another one of the series ones. I just like doing it, like, I think I was 3 minutes behind the winner, and like, just, I think it just keeps you like humble and think, there's like levels to this sport, like, even if you're doing well in England, these guys, even though obviously they're in altitude, like, and they're used to it, and I wouldn't be 3 minutes behind on sea level, but still, like, I probably still wouldn't be able to see them, like, at the finish. So, just, it's good to just get spunked. I need to carry on working hard. It's good fun as well. Like, you get a lot of support. Like, they all call it, like, Muzungu is like the name for like white people, even though I'm brown. But they give you, you get a lot of support. Like, if you see you're doing all right, and you're not like, because you most of them think you're probably going to be terrible. But like, if you're all right, like, it's good. Yeah, it's just a good time. So I just enjoy doing it.
Yeah, obviously, your coach Renato is based out in Kenya as well. What's the difference like when you're over there working with him, actually in a physical presence rather than just getting your training?
So I've never been in Kenya like being coached by him, because obviously the last time I was in Kenya I was with Alan, so this will be the first time in Kenya. But when I've been in Sestriere in Italy, it's good to have him at the track, like watching the sessions and stuff, and sometimes he talks quite a lot, so like in a recovery it might be like 3-4 minutes and he'll start telling a story, and then you have to like sort of give him listen, we need to get going. he's really chilled out. He's like, he's not it's not like anything, I don't know, like out of the ordinary, like just what every coach would be like their track. At times he splits, even though some of his splits might be not quite, they're a bit dodgy and that. He just chilled out, and he's not too, if I can't run the times, then he might change it a little bit. He just chilled out, and it's nice to have him there, and someone supporting me. So it's good.
Well, one thing I was gonna say, does he say his workouts regarding splits? bits and pieces, or a lot of them kind of effort based?
No, it's all like splits and pieces. There's nothing like, yeah, there's nothing like run at threshold or anything. Obviously, like the easy and moderate and cause like regeneration, like that's all sort of how I feel most of the time. But yeah, the proper sessions are all like splits and paces and specific things. None of that's how I feel.
Right.
What is your easy pace? Because you told us your moderates between like 5:35 and 6:10. What is it easy these days?
So easy is between like 6:20 and probably can be even like 9 minute miley maybe in the forest, like. But that's like it's up and down and like on the trail.
Yeah,
that might be like in the evening after like a massive session in the morning, and then like it could be 6:20 if I end on a session in a couple of days, and he wants me to run a bit quicker. It's not too, there's not like an easy pace. It's it's more flexible.
Yeah, for sure. And one thing I picked up early on that I didn't actually ask about. You said you'd only trained with someone once, and that was Phil Sesman since April. I know the training itself is obviously hard. Is it because no one wants to jump in, or can no one jump in?
Well, it's a bit of both in a way. Yeah. Like, obviously there are like good lads in Leeds that could jump in, but obviously if they have a different coach or a different, their sessions don't tend to be as long. And maybe there might be a little, It never really like, and a lot of people train after work and stuff, and I'm full time, so training in the morning. And then also, a lot of people just do completely different stuff. Like they're not doing the same length of sessions and stuff. Tried to get Mark to, I wanted to join with him a few times since he's come back from it to England, but he's been down south, so that hadn't materialized yet. But
man, you must be incredibly focused and motivated to be able to do all that kind of training, 100 mile a week and plus alone. Is there any advice for other people, getting out there training on their own? How do you do it? Is it just purely those goals that are keeping you ticking?
Yeah, I think just you need to be sort of determined and motivated, and not sort of succumb to what was going on that day and stuff and other stuff around. You always need to, a lot of people are seeing losing their head and stuff, and they train really hard for a month here, but then the next month will be they weren't doing as focused and stuff. And I'd say you don't have to be mega focused and on it, but it just every day has to be. You have to get your training done. It's not like living like a monk, but then it's having it's not really balanced either, because I to be honest, I don't live a balanced life. It is really focused around athletics, but it's just every day just doing what you need to do. No more, no less. And don't make it a chore.
I think that's the thing a lot of people forget, isn't it? It's not even 5 days a week at your level, man. It's every single day. Getting those sessions in, getting those runs in, getting it right. And I think a lot of people almost forget that, don't they? They do let things get in the way. And it's obviously hard, life gets in the way, but the level you're at, I think you've got to appreciate that you guys do it every day, 364, 5 days a year.
Yeah. I think that's the thing though, getting to that level, thinking, I've been like that, before I went to uni, I just followed everything my coach said and did all the training and stuff. I didn't really get that. When I got to uni, I found out people skipped runs and stuff. I didn't even know people did that, which is it's a bit stupid, but I think it's just having that mentality for years, and that's how you make progress. Even you can't do it for 1 year, it has to be for many years, and then you'll see eventually you'll get better and better.
Sorry, that's what's interesting, that a lot of people, they say, if I was pro or if I was at that level, then I'd be like that. But you yourself have just said you were doing that before university. Obviously, I'm sure it's cranked up a notch as well, but you were doing it before you got there, which is why you've got there. And I guess you've still got more to go as well.
Yeah. Like the people always say, oh, yeah, like you say, if I was full time, this and that. And it's like, well, I made sacrifices when I was younger. Like after first year uni, right, the first couple of weeks, I didn't really. I think after Christmas from first year, I haven't been on like a night out, or like what people like, you know, to a nightclub and that.
Mm.
And people are like willing to sort of do that stuff. So it's not like by luck, like you end up in a position where you're full time and everything like that. I've been focused for a lot of years, and even when I wasn't getting the same results and the same attention, I still had the same like focus, and like you said, it has cranked up like each year, and like you do get more focused. But yeah, I wasn't messing about like when I was younger. I was, I always had aspiration to be the best I could.
I think that's it, man. You know, you would have been coming what, sixth in national cross country, and there would have been guys around you who maybe were missing runs, you know, and you probably, they would have looked at your training and thought you were more dedicated. But you know, fast forward 5 years and look where you are, and look where some of they are.
Yeah. I mean, like, as if you look at like the top athletes in Britain or whatever, like how many of them were like dominating English schools and all of that? Like probably not many. It's the ones that stick out it, I think, for the most part, do get there in the end. It's not often you get people that, they're sort of doing it when they're 15, just out of talent, like just because they're really talented. Maybe I think when you're really talented, maybe you think you don't have to work as hard.
Yeah.
Obviously, I have good talent, but I think hard work is the main thing.
Hey, where did that mentality come from? You know, the facts that, you know, even when Phil was setting you his break, did he just say to you, do everything on it? Or, you know, something inside you must have said, I've got to do everything on this program. And obviously it's carried on now, but where did that come from? You didn't let anything ever get in your way.
I'm not sure, to be honest. Like, I can't say specifically where it came from, like that mentality, but you just sort of, I guess it's just always been there. And I always wanted to, do better in the next race that I did. Even if I was like running three times a week or twice a week, like I was still, even though I wasn't running much, I was taking it serious. If that like makes sense. I think that's, I don't know if I answered that well, but
you have.
For sure, man. No, it's good to hear, and it's great to see you doing so well, and we wish you all the best for the future, man, because I think that's us wrapped up. But thanks so much for coming on the pod.
Oh no, it's all right. Thank you very much, and good luck to you guys. We are running as well.
Thanks, man.